Welcome to the Faith and Fandom podcast. It's just Hector tonight. The world has kind of turned upside down a few times since the last time we recorded a podcast, but I'm sitting around doing some Inktober work, and just figured it'd be a good time to just sit and chat with you while I'm drawing and tell you what's going on in the world. So, don't even know when the last podcast officially was, but since the last podcast, my region has gone through, again, a major hurricane and flooding. So, that's kind of been where my life is at for the past minute or so. If you've been following my personal Facebook or know kind of what's going on with my life, spent a large portion of my summer when I wasn't at cons, working on a new church building. And legit, we were in our new church building for 6 Sundays, just 6, before the hurricane came. And our building was completely decimated. So after 6 Sundays of, you know, being in our building, Hurricane Florence came through and it was totally destroyed. So that's a thing. You know, that's obviously discouraging for me as a pastor and a professional and, you know, what we're doing with our life to spend that much time working on something and then just have it, you know, wiped out. But it's really funny that the Sunday before the hurricane, I preached at our church, and we did like a straight up message that reminding people not to be so focused on the facilities and the concept of what church is, that we make it out to be, and that the church is the body of Christ, that it's the people. And so, you know, I preached that we shouldn't be so focused on the church building, and then it's underwater. So that is a thing. But, you know, life goes on and God is still good. So, you know, we're restarting the process. In fact, today, they just delivered the sheetrock, and, you know, we'll see how things go from there. The church across the street from my house has been super cool, and the fact that they are letting us use their facility on Sunday mornings when they're not. So our services start usually, currently we're doing like 9 a.m. and they're doing 11, and they're being really cool about that. So that's nice. That's fun. You know, we're still being provided for in that capacity. But honestly, it was straight up heartbreaking, and it took me some days to get over that, to bounce back. And, you know, if I'm super real and honest, I'm probably still not 100% with that, and my heart still hurts for it. But it's not just, you know, my heart dealing with that. I've got people in my congregation and family and friends and readers and all these other things that completely lost their homes. My house has some structural damage, like still from Hurricane Matthew, like some floors and crawl space and stuff that needs to be repaired. But, you know, it's hard to whine or complain or be crazy frustrated about that when there are people who literally lost everything that they own. So, trying to make sure I keep my heart and attitude in perspective. It's really not, it's not funny, but when the hurricane came, we were planning to just stick around. We weren't going to go anywhere. We weren't going to evacuate. And then they announced that the water levels of the hurricane were actually going to be higher than they were with Hurricane Matthew, and we dipped. But when we dipped, you know, there was that moment of like, what are we taking with us? So we went through the house and we put everything we could higher off the ground because, you know, maybe that would help. So we put everything we could off the ground and, you know, like we unplugged our electronics, we put everything up higher. And so when we left on the hurricane, like, and we left mid-hurricane, like we weren't smart enough to roll out earlier, like the hurricane was here and we decided to try and, you know, haul Boogie and get down the interstate to where we evacuated to. When we evacuated, here's what I took. I took a tub that had my computer that has all of my DJ music on it. I took my Xbox and my Switch. Left the Wii. left the Wii. And then took my guitar. And that's about it. The other thing, I took all of the Faith and Fandom stuff. During Hurricane Matthew, we had a brand new order of t-shirts get flooded at my shirt guy's, you know, warehouse. He lived in a area that was a little more inclined for flooding, and sure enough, his whole facility got flooded, and, you know, just didn't want to run that risk this time. So when we decided to go, we literally packed up all of the Faith and Fandom gear. So we took a car with all of our gear and me and a kid. And we also took a van that had my other two kids, my wife, and our dogs. If you know me, I'm not a crazy dog person. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You don't leave your dog behind in the middle of a hurricane if you can help it. And, yeah, so we're recovering and we're bouncing back and we're trying to, you know, deal with all that has happened and that has occurred with that. But, yeah, Comic-Cons have been a big encouragement and distraction during this time. The week after the hurricane was Danville Comic-Con. It was the first Comic-Con in Danville, and I gotta say, it was a great show. I enjoyed it a lot, and it was nice not to be in the middle of hurricane drama at that time. But pretty much, my life has consisted of legit just hurricane disaster relief and trying to help other people. And realistically speaking, it's been a lot of time with my kids because my kids basically gave up their whole summer to hang out with me and help while we built our church building. And, you know, I just couldn't see it in my heart to try and make them sit through hurricane mudding out. And it's also just not safe. So that's kind of been where we've been at. Danville was a great Comic-Con. Shout out to the people that were there. And, you know, money is never our big deal. If you've ever been around us, I think you realize that how much we make at a Comic-Con is never our focus. But on that note, Danville Comic-Con actually turned out to be Vincent's most profitable show ever. So that's a thing. People there just ridiculously loved his art. And he sold like all of his Majin Vegetas. So like legit, there's not any more. And he sold, you know, just a ton of stuff. And that's great and all for him. I'm excited that a first year show, a one day show, could end up being a better show for Vincent as an artist than like SuperCon. That's pretty fantastic. So we're excited about that. I'm excited for him. I don't know if he's excited, but I was excited for that. A couple other things, if you're not aware, Vincent and his wife Stephanie are having a baby soon, like around the beginning of December. They will have a child. There's like a dedication to their kid in the Faith and Fandom Kid Edition. So, yeah, they're having a baby. So that's fun. And, yeah. This weekend is going to be Conopalooza. So I will be in Kingsport, Tennessee, which is approximately 5-6 hours from where I live. And it is about 15 minutes from a region that I am frequently a speaker at a Bible camp at. So I've got some friends and readers and students over there that, you know, it'll be nice to actually be in their area for a Comic-Con. And so, yeah, our Comic-Con season is starting to wrap up. We've got Conopalooza, and Conopalooza is going to be a big show this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got three panels. We've got the Faith and Fandom panel, which is, you know, always awesome to be able to do that. You know, anytime a show will let me have a panel, I'm crazy grateful. So there's that. We're doing Fanboy Face-Off on Friday. And then on Fanboy Face-Off on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, I actually get to do a full-blown geek church service on the main stage of the Comic-Con. So, like, in the middle of the show, in front of everything, I get to do a panel. Not even a panel. I get to do a full-blown sermon at Comic-Con, and that's pretty great. So I am very excited about that. I'm excited about what that's going to be like and the opportunities that might produce, you know, getting to talk to people at a Comic-Con. And, you know, it's a big show that has a lot of activities. Like, there's some craziness going on the night before my geek church service. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be fun to be able to be in a new area. I've never done a con in that region, specifically of Tennessee. I've done Knoxville and stuff, which is a couple hours away, but I haven't done the Kingsport, Johnson City, Elizabethan region before, so that will be nice to be able to be there and to do that in that area. Immediately following Conopalooza, though, the week after that, October 20th and 21st, is Fayetteville Comic-Con. That is my local show. That is my hometown show. I live in Lumberton, but, you know, Lumberton is the smaller, awkward sibling of Fayetteville. So Fayetteville is, you know, where you go when you actually want to do things like buy stuff that's cool or catch decent Pokemon or things like that. So Fayetteville Comic-Con is like my home show. And I will be at Fayetteville Comic-Con as normal. No panels this year. Just honestly, with everything in my life going on, didn't even think to ask. So I'm not on the panel schedule. But it's kind of great too, because Saturday afternoon of Fayetteville Comic-Con, I actually have to officiate and then DJ a wedding. One of my pastors from my church is getting married to his, you know, forever fiance, and I'm officiating and then haphazardly DJing because their DJ copped out on them and they don't have anyone to do it. So I'm doing both. So it's kind of gangster I am. So that's happening. And then after that, we have NC Comic-Con Oak City. And not Oak City, Bull City. Bull City's Durham. NC Comic-Con Bull City. And I will be there for that show. And that is a 3-day show in Durham. And that will likely be Vincent's last show with Faith and Fandom for a hot minute. In fact, that might be one of my shows with Faith and Fandom, at least on the con circuit, for a hot minute, because my original plan was to take off from December to May from doing Comic-Cons in general, just to allow me to spend some more time with my kids and to focus on my family a little bit more and not be away so much. That was just something I had already planned on and was going to do. But now, honestly, after being at home with my kids for a solid month and us doing everything together and doing that, I don't know if I'm still going to execute that plan. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. We'll see how that goes. But that was the thought. But Vincent, you know, will have a new baby, and not only a new baby, it'll be his first baby. And that is always a giant learning curve. So Vincent is going to be off dadding for the majority of 2019, or at least the first part of the season. But a cool show, the new first year of the show that's popping up, is going to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And that is going to be Holly Hill Comic Con. And it's a show in Burlington, North Carolina, which is actually where I evacuated to during the hurricane. But Holly Hill Comic Con is going to be a mall show. Now, mall shows typically can be okay, but mall shows aren't normally great. This one actually seems like it's going to be a pretty dope show. And I would like to say this. I was going to be doing Grand Strand Comic-Con in Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, on November 2nd. But because of the hurricane and everything else that's happened, I'm not going to be able to do that because of some conflicts with my family and travel. So I highly recommend, if you are in the Myrtle Beach area, or you can get to Myrtle Beach relatively easy, that you should go down there. You should check it out. I've got some friends that are cosplaying that are going to be pretty dope at that show. It's ran by Brad and Jen Miller, who do DJ's decals. They're pretty much the most prominent decal people in our Comic-Con circuit. We're friends with them. And so you should definitely check out that show, November 2nd and 3rd, Merle's Inlet, South Carolina. But yeah, so that's what's up. Since then, man, what has gone on? Batman 55 happened, and Nightwing got shot in the head, so that's traumatic. I haven't read Nightwing's current issue that gives a little more detail on the aftermath of that, but yeah, Batman's not happy, so that's a thing. Let's see what else has happened. DC Universe is launched, and I'm pretty sure we'll talk more about that a little bit when I actually have people and I'm not just rambling to myself. But DC Universe is launched, and it's basically like Netflix for DC Comics, where you can watch all their shows and their movies, and you can read hundreds of comic books and thousands of comic books. I've already read a bunch of comic books that I've never read before or didn't even know existed in this time. So it is totally fruitful. It is $7 a month. Or you can just be gangster and pay like $70 for the whole year, and they've got you covered. And that's what I did, honestly. I just wanted to go ahead and knock that out. And I've loved it. I have no regrets with it. But yeah, DC Universe is totally a thing. Got to go see the My Hero Academia movie in theaters with my daughters. And it was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed the My Hero Academia movie. And in fact, if I'm totally honest, I enjoyed it better than Infinity War and almost every other movie I've watched in theaters in a long time. So, yeah, that's crazy, right? But this anime movie was one of the best that I've watched in a long time. Had a great time just watching it. So what else is new? Playing the Tomb Raider games. I had played the first one and basically slept on the next one. And in fact, I didn't even realize that there was a second one. I thought that the Rise of the Tomb Raider was the first one. I guess I just mixed up the name. I thought it was like an expansion pack or something. And I'd missed that there was a second one. So I decided I wanted to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider. But then I realized I hadn't played Rise of the Tomb Raider first. So I went back and did that. And I have to say, they have done an extremely good job with the Tomb Raider franchise on the gaming front. Rise of the Tomb Raider came highly recommended from my friend Sammy that runs our local GameStop. And so I checked that out. And I gotta say, Rise of the Tomb Raider was great. And Shadow of the Tomb Raider is flipping intense. Like, I jokingly told somebody on a Facebook post that it felt like Resident Evil, but with nature. And, like, legit, since saying that, it really does feel a lot more like Resident Evil, but with nature. So, Shadow of the Tomb Raider has been a pretty fun game. I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through it, and I highly recommend it. I've had a blast, but I will say that for a Tomb Raider game, it's pretty intense on language, and gore and violence. A little more than I was expecting, because I took my daughters to watch the Tomb Raider movie recently. And, you know, that was an okay movie. It was good. But, man, the intensity and the violence is severely dialed up for this new game. I'm not complaining, per se. It makes for a really good gaming experience. But, my daughters like to sit around and kind of watch when I'm playing sometimes, and that can get pretty hairy. Like, my 10-year-old Rosa was sitting with me, and, you know, you can be callous to these things sometimes. And she said, "Wow, never heard those curse words before." And I'm like, "Dang it, I'm kind of failing you." But yeah, it gets pretty intense, but it's really good, as far as gaming goes. And I've been really satisfied in playing that. We also got the new Mega Man. And I'm going to just put this out here on the universe. The new Mega Man is legit the hardest game I've probably played in forever. Like, it's too hard. Like, it's obscenely hard. Like, I'm like, I don't know what Nintendo expects us to even do with this. But yeah, it's ridiculous how hard this game is. But I'm going to be super honest with you. If you can pick up this new Mega Man and just waltz through it. I mean, like, if you can pick this game up and just straight up beat this game without changing the difficulty, without, you know, cheating or lowering how hard it is, hit me up and I will give you prizes. I will give you freaking books and t-shirts and Death Star candles. I will give you all the things because you are a better human being than I am. Because I'm, it's a hard game. So I'm playing it with my daughter, like, out the box. She's sitting there and, you know, it's just straight up hard. Like, I'm failing. And so, you know, I don't ever want to be the guy that I can't beat a game on normal. Like, if I have to go to easy to beat it, I don't want it. Like, I'm failing as a human and I don't want it. So, I wasn't going to go to easy or anything lower than what the game started out at. But my daughter was playing it and she asked for permission. And so, you know, I basically used her to say, "Sure, it's okay, go ahead." And so I let her lower the difficulty. And I'm going to tell you, even with the lower difficulty, it's bananas. And so, just straight up, if you want to be that kind of gangster, if you want a game to show the world that Dark Souls is for pansies and that you are super serious about your gaming life, pick up the new Mega Man. Pick that junk up. Mega Man 11. See what you can do with it. Because I'm going to tell you, it made me feel like a noob. Yeah. It made me feel like a giant pansy and that I don't deserve to own a Nintendo. So, yeah, I basically picked up Tomb Raider to make myself feel better about my life after being horrible at Mega Man. So, there's that. New Doctor Who came out. And I gotta say, I loved it. She nailed it, man. I mean, it's like she was on screen all of 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, nope, she's perfect. So if you have beef with them casting a woman, or if you think it was a political agenda, first of all, I know that they actually auditioned other people, other genders. They auditioned males for 13 as well. So it's not just a female political move. Jodie's just great. But even if it is a political move and it's something, just give her a chance because she did a great job. And bottom line, I love the Doctor. The Doctor is why I'm here for all of this anyway. So at the end of the day, Jodie's the Doctor. So you can either be here to support an actor or you can be here because you love the Doctor. I'm here because I love the Doctor. I didn't know Peter Capaldi for squat when he showed up. I don't think I'd ever even seen anything that Peter Capaldi was in, but I can tell you this. I loved Peter Capaldi as the Doctor, and he spoke to my heart, and I loved him. And in many dialogues, I will straight up say that Capaldi was my Doctor, or is my Doctor. But, you know, don't hate on Jodie just because she's female. And, you know, be better than that. But beyond that, seriously, give it a chance, and I think you'll see that it's better and more organic than you're anticipating. Now, this does that conversation isn't even for the majority of people, because the majority of people aren't going to have any beef with that. But for those of you who do, breathe. Go ahead, breathe, and let yourself enjoy this. Don't hold back with that. New Doctor stuff, that's been great. What else? I'm not going to stick around much longer. I just wanted to put something out in the airwaves because I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Tom Hardy. You know how normally when big movies are coming out, celebrities will go and be in places where it gets them attention, where they can do red carpet stuff, where they can be... they can elevate and promote their movie in a way that really draws attention. So Venom came out during New York Comic Con. So one of the biggest Comic Cons in our country was going on the weekend that Venom came out. And instead of being at New York Comic Con or being on the red carpet or anywhere else, Tom Hardy decided to come to North Carolina, decided to come to my town, and decided to go to the smallest movie theater in my town to do a screening of Venom for the soldiers. Well, that's cool. My friend Alex, who is a big part of my family's life, she's been a student, a friend. She was one of my people in college ministry. She's been an intern at my church before. I mean, she's done a lot with us. But she loves Tom Hardy, like, a lot. Like, dangerously a lot. And so the first time I heard that Tom Hardy was coming to Fayetteville, I instantly sent her a message. And she started crying just at the idea of it. And then she couldn't get tickets to go. So what she did was she just waited outside the theater. And lo and behold, Tom Hardy came out, and she got to take her picture with him. Beyond that, that's amazing. So high five to her. But Tom Hardy didn't even just stick around on Thursday for the preview night. Tom Hardy stuck around on Friday. He went and wrestled and did jiu-jitsu at a local gym. He went to the Special Forces Museum and signed autographs and took pictures with people. I mean, this dude freaking rocked, and he did a lot of cool stuff for our community. So, yeah, I think that's amazing. That was just really neat to me. I'm going to go ahead and bounce out of here just and wrap up by saying this. Vincent and I are both doing Inktober. You can check out the Instagram for that. While I was talking to you tonight, I drew And by the way, I'm a writer. I'm not a visual artist. While I was writing this or talking to you, I drew Gollum chasing after a Green Lantern ring because that makes me smile. And so there's that. So you can check out our Inktober stuff on the Instagram, and we're occasionally posting posts on the Facebook. And on that note, I guess I'm going to write book six. I guess that's going to be a thing. Everything that's happened has been just a real big distraction. But I'm going to write, book six. So far, the stuff that I know is going to be in book six is going to be a chapter on Batman number 53, which I've already discussed on here. I already have a devotional for that. I'm going to do a chapter on Red Hood. Going to do a chapter on My Hero Academia. Going to do a chapter on Infinity War. And going to do a chapter on the book that we've also talked about on here, Judas. So those are some things so far. And we'll see how it goes and see what that's coming up with. But for those of us, I am planning to work on something. I haven't written it yet. My world has been under stress and underwater. But yeah. You can also keep an ear out soon. The podcast with Chris Poyer and I is going to be launching pretty soon on Love Thy Nerd, and it's going to be called The Pull List. So yeah, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for chatting. Please comment, like, share, and have a great night.